The Purpose-Driven Life is a devotional book by American pastor and author Rick Warren, first published in 2002. Taking the form of a 40-day personal spiritual journey, the book explores what Warren says are God's five purposes for human life on earth and describes it as a blueprint for Christian living in the modern day. A mega bestseller, it sold more than 30 million copies in its first 5 years, and it was on the New York Times bestseller list for more than 90 weeks. A 2005 survey of American pastors and ministers named The Purpose-Driven Life as the most significant book in their lives and ministries. Pastor Rick writes, "You're here for a reason. God planned your life and designed you perfectly to fulfill His purpose. Every aspect of your life, including your physical features, your personality, your parents, and so on, is a gift. You can't repay God for all He's given you, but you can express your gratitude by putting God and His purposes at the center of your life." Now, I will say that The Purpose-Driven Life overall is an outstanding resource for Christian living, and it stands in opposition to and was written to counter the secular life, that is, the life driven primarily by selfish motives or with no purpose at all. Living an egocentric, self-centered life often leaves people feeling empty and shallow and always searching for and wanting for something more significant. By contrast, living a life of purpose ideally leaves people feeling worthwhile, engaged, satisfied, and fulfilled. One of the key things that separates human beings from all other animals is our self-awareness. Turtles and dogs and sheep and even cats don't worry about the decisions they made last year. They don't plan for a better future by taking their life in a new direction. They certainly don't wonder what happens to them when they die. And they don't question who made them and how they got here. Our human unique self-awareness from the beginning of human history has led us to develop religious expressions that try to answer the most fundamental of questions. Why am I here? Does my life have any purpose? And does my existence in the universe matter at all? The Purpose-Driven Life attempts to provide answers to those questions based upon the belief that A, we have a creator, and B, that our creator did more than just make us. He designed a life for us to live that would only be meaningful and fulfilling if we walked along the path intended by that creator. And so Warren lists five purposes for our life. He says we were made for worship, fellowship, spiritual maturity, ministry, and mission. Now, it's important to make the distinction that he's not saying worship, ministry, mission, fellowship, etc. are things that Christians should do in order to be good Christians. He is saying that the Creator designed each person individually to connect to a unique plan that He made for us in those five areas. And with all due respect, I would like to take issue with one of those listed purposes and designs and propose an alternative, what I believe is a healthier perspective on God's will for our lives. In my experience, it is incorrect and sometimes psychologically and spiritually damaging to suggest that God has one specific mission for your life, and your job is to discover it and to live it out. And if you can't, or you don't live out your mission, you will not be happy, satisfied, fulfilled, or, more importantly, living the life that the Creator designed for you. Are we designed to be missional? That is, to live a focused life that benefits others and makes the best use of our gifts, our blessings, and opportunities? Of course we do. Are we designed for a specific, singular, predetermined mission? I don't think so. When you say that life has purpose, that's different than life has, and that's the title of the message, that life has a purpose. When we say that, what are we suggesting? What are the implications of that statement? What is at the heart of that statement, and what are the consequences of believing that the Creator has one specific mission for each of us? I mean, if it makes you feel special or important or worthwhile, then why not hang on to that belief? Well, the idea that God made you for one specific purpose could make him the puppet master and you the puppet. It could be said that a preset course for your life removes all freedom and the responsibility that comes with that freedom to live our life either as it just comes along or as we please, as we choose. It supposes that someone else has predetermined not only the direction our life should take, but necessarily the events, the people, the locations, the opportunities, and even the challenges and the expected results that should happen from that one life. And failure to discover, let alone to live out, but even to never find that unknown and yet necessary life, indicates a wasted life and a failure to fully honor the Creator of that intended but missed path. The problem is, Christians who believe that God has predestined them for a specific missional purpose are inclined to either A, fabricate a purpose, because you've got to have one, and if you believe you have to have one and you don't know what it is, you got to come up with something, so you make one up. Or we believe strongly that we have found our true purpose because we feel a direction is godly, or more likely because events seem to fall into place in our life in a certain way, and we attribute that to God's purpose. Or we determine what our purpose is either through some seminar or retreat or study course that at the end of the day fills in the blank for us about what our mission is supposed to be. Or D, some church official in authority or some influential Christian in our life tells us that God has told them to tell us what our mission and purpose in life is. Now, I'll admit that the idea that some heavenly father figure is looking down with a specific reason for my life, custom designed just for me, is very appealing and definitely sounds very sacred and important, doesn't it? But purpose is usually determined by either what one wants that purpose to be, or we look at our life and determine that what is must be the purpose, must be what God intended. Someone might say, today I am a teacher, And that must have been God's purpose for my life, because at some point in the future, he wants me to teach other people. Or I am poor today because God has withheld wealth from me, because his purpose for my life is to demonstrate total dependence on him to other people. So that's why I don't have any money. It's not because I don't work. It's because God's life, God's purpose for my life must be that I'm poor, because it is. So we use it as a justification for where we are at any stage in life. It is well known that Mother Teresa of Calcutta did not attempt to fully restore the women in her shelter in India, in India's poorest neighborhoods, because she believed that God's purpose for them was to experience a shared suffering with Christ. And if that is someone's purpose, you have no business trying to remove that suffering, completely at least. She encouraged her hospital patients to accept pain as a gift sent from God, to the point of whenever any kind of surgery was performed, anesthesia was often refused. At a Washington press conference shortly before her death in 1997, Mother Teresa said, and I quote, "I think it is very beautiful for the poor to accept their lot, to share it with the passion or the suffering of Christ," end quote. In other words, wherever we are in life, whatever our lot, we must accept it as God's special, unique, designed purpose for us, and find a way to live it and share it for God's glory. That's the logic. But there's no scriptural evidence that our life has any special, predetermined, missional, individual purpose. In fact, it seems somewhat narcissistic to presume that for each of the 2.4 billion Christians in the world, God has tailor-made, fine-tuned, custom-designed one special, unique mission for me and for you. But for some who may say it seems hopeless, then, if you say that life's mission is not predetermined. But what I'm saying is that life does have meaning. And it is our life's quest not to find that meaning, but to create that meaning. The meaning of our life is its greatest freedom and opportunity. We can create and develop ways to make life significant and important and worthwhile, far beyond mere existence. You might say that we all have a shared purpose and mission to make our life meaningful by leaving the mark of God's love in a world of suffering, injustice, hopelessness, loss, grief, and discouragement. Ah, I hear you say. Doesn't Scripture say that God has prepared good works for us to do, and that's our life? Ephesians 2 verse 10, Paul writes, "For we are God's workmanship." So he's making us into something that pleases him, that suits him. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So isn't that the purpose, the mission that we have to find and to live out? Well, those good works are not the same thing as our mission. They are more like isolated ways in which we can benefit others who cross our life's path. The ways in which we interact with our world in order to become more Christ-like is not the same thing as a whole life of predetermination. Let me give you a few biblical principles to live by in regard to living a meaningful life that doesn't include beginning with the search to figure out what it is that the Creator has designed specifically for us. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, it says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." It sounds like a rather benign kind of statement. Just do your best in life. You know, work at it, whatever it is you're doing. But notice it says, "Whatever your hand will find to do." Not whatever has been decided for you to do. Not what God has uniquely, singularly designed that you should find to do. Whatever your hand finds, wherever your life's path takes, wherever you find to create meaning, there would be no point in doing anything with all your might if you believed that God had one mission for you, unless you were sure that what you were doing with all your might was God's mission and not yours. And there are people who live their lives always wondering, am I on the right path? Am I on the right mission? Have I found God's purpose for my life? And if not, am I just wasting these years? But doing whatever you choose to do with all your might puts the emphasis on effort and results rather than some quest to find a specific path in life. And yes, we do so with the guidance of God, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The idea that we might find our worth in finding our purpose, that God might have planned careers and goals and advancement and retirement and travel and volunteering and recreation, all seems rather silly. These pursuits are relatively modern, because that's what people usually mean when they think of finding my purpose in life. They're thinking of, what job should I take? What career path should I take? Who should I marry? Where should I live? Ancient peoples didn't think like that. Certainly not in biblical times. Ancient peoples just worked as soon as they could walk, and worked at whatever profession their family had participated in, or whatever work was needed by the community. Nobody asked, I wonder when I grow up if I should be an architect, or a baker, or a plumber, or a priest. Similarly, we read in Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." Again, what's important to the Apostle Paul here is not that you find the path chosen and designed and created for you, but that in all your ways, whatever path your life takes, by chance or by choice, acknowledge your Creator and dedicate your work and your life to the Lord. The fundamental problem with Rick Warren's approach in this area, again, the book as a whole is an outstanding resource, but in this particular area, as people take it to even further extremes, there is no objective, verifiable way to measure the accuracy of your assumed mission. So you can have a whole church weekend seminar, and you can go through testing and probing, and you can come out and have everyone be assigned a mission, and they can try to live that life. But how do you know? How can you be sure? How can you be sure that the life you think you're sure you are supposed to live is not a false one, is not a red herring, and that the one you should have lived, you never even knew about? And someday you'll be asked, why did you waste your life? This is the guilt, the insecurity that you should never live with. Asserting something vigorously doesn't make it true, and you can never be sure. And what if you're wrong? You may say, well, look at the fruit of my life. I've lived a good life, a useful life. a life that has made a difference for many other people and have used my time and my opportunities and my talents and energy in the service of God. Great. Excellent. But all that could be said about one who lives life intentionally to find and create meaning and to live a life of love and value. So instead of searching for the doubtful and ethereal holy grail of mission, and instead of convincing ourselves that God has one special, purposeful life just for me, and instead of straining to identify an indeterminate destiny, may I suggest that we find our purpose in using our talents and opportunities and resources and spiritual gifts and the good works prepared for us to do to make our life meaningful by contributing to the benefit of others as we live a life filled with grace and the love of Christ. And whatever our hands find to do it unto the Lord.